Gimmicks in hip-hop don't tend to last. Whether it's Mario Judah, Hobson, Trinidad James, or more recent examples like Dave Blunt, artists can only ride the wave of a single persona or a parody of hip-hop culture for so long before the novelty wears off. And at the moment, this is something that Lil Mabu is finding out in real time. Where he once appeared to have legitimate motion, his listenership has withered down from 6 million to just 2 mil, and the numbers just keep on falling. Meanwhile, he has been ridiculed for releasing some of the worst songs in recent memory.
We're going to be going through our top 10 worst songs of the year. I have Oppie Day by Lil Mabu. But yeah, Lil Mabu, he had to make the list. I don't think anyone on this list is more deserving of a spot than Lil Mabu. So shout out to Lil Mabu. And on this song, he decided to interpolate Daniel Powder's number one hit song, Bad Day. And you had a bad day, yeah. From 2005. And he turned You Had a Bad Day into These Hoes Be So Fake. Some of the absolute worst auto-crooning I've ever had the displeasure of listening to.
And now, even being associated with him is used as a diss towards actual rappers.
Yo, Favio Foreign or Fivio Foreign, however the fuck you want to pronounce your name, you haven't been fucking relevant since a Lil Mabu song. So I don't know where you get this disrespect, but the last song that I know about you that's been relevant was a fucking Lil Mabu song, and then before that was Off the Grid.
But how did he get there? And is there any way for him to salvage a career from his time cosplaying as a gangster? It's your boy Luesta, and this is the fall of Lil Mabu. At the moment, Lil Mabu can't buy a hit or even a viral moment. But this wasn't always the case. For a brief moment, between tracks like A Trip to the Hood, Mathematical Disrespect, and Teach Me How to Drill, everything Mabu did seemed to take off. And rather than being modest about it, he leaned into it.
Yo, Mabu, you really the only independent artist putting up numbers right now, bro.
They call me the independent variable for a reason, gang.
Oh, that's why.
I spend 8 hours a day in school and I still put up more numbers than these fleas.
Just 8 months ago, his track Bang Bang, where he called out XXL for snubbing him on the freshman list, was doing solid numbers, racking up 13 million views on YouTube thanks to one wild, controversial lyric.
XXL, I'm a freshman in real life. Y'all left me off that list. That was slick as f***. Thank God y'all ain't let me in that class. I would've shot it up. Bang!
But those days are gone, and as his views and engagement plummet, people can't believe what they're seeing. The fall off is wild. Yo, bro gotta get back on the horse. He can't be falling off like this. Lil Mabu used to be everywhere on my YouTube in late 2023 and early 2023. Then after like July 2024, I stopped seeing him. Now, I haven't heard from him at all. However, when you look back at Lil Mabu's beginnings, it's really no surprise that he's now fallen on hard times. Because as entertaining as some people found it, the shaky foundations of his hip-hop career were never sustainable.
My name is Matthew DeLuca. I go to the collegiate school. I'm in 9th grade, and my favorite thing about Kids Walk for MSK Kids is getting together with friends and family to support such a wonderful cause.
This is the real Lil Mabu, an upper-class kid raised in a 5-bed, 5-bath, 3,327-square-foot condo in the city's plush Upper East Side. Rather than spending his early years in the trenches like many of the rappers who he aspired to be like, the only time Mabu was outside was when he was in the Hamptons at his family's 6,182-square-foot house in Watermill on Long Island. In fact, the town square of Southampton can actually be seen in some of his viral TikTok content. With the value of these two properties alone coming in at $12 million, it's clear that Mabu was born in the lap of luxury. And as opposed to picking up his love of drill music in the public education system, Mabu's affluent lifestyle extended to gaining him a diploma at the exclusive collegiate school in Manhattan. Believed to be the oldest school in the United States with a lineage that dates back to 600 years, his time at the plush establishment would have cost his parents $60,000 a year in tuition. Amid receiving his education at the same place as the likes of JFK Jr., David Duchovny, Mark Ronson, and the president of Warner Bros. Records, Lil Mabu's life is a million miles removed from the bullet-ridden existence that he portrayed in his music. And instead of navigating turf wars in Bed-Stuy or the Bronx, the only real criminal history in Mabu's family comes from white-collar drama, courtesy of his father, Peter DeLuca Sr., who actually has a longer rap sheet than his son. As the owner of a Greenwich Village funeral home, he made headlines in 2016 when he was assaulted during a memorial after telling a grieving family member that their 91-year-old mother was next, and that he'd handle her service too. Since then, Peter has gotten a concealed carry permit, but he probably flashes his gun way less than his son does in his music videos. In addition to getting into legal disputes with rival funeral homes over turf, The rapper's father's unsavory conduct even extends to his divorce from his ex-wife Jane, who has claimed that he cheated her out of millions of dollars in their divorce settlement. Back in 2006, Jane, who saw the family's firstborn child, Peter, die in her arms after their apartment collapsed due to a botched repair job and was briefly pronounced clinically dead herself, filed a lawsuit which declared that her husband had conspired with corrupt judges to fix their court proceedings in order for him to win vast sums of money. As for Matthew Peter DeLuca, he began making music at a young age, but it was a far cry from what you're used to hearing from him, and was more along the lines of the melodic output you'd hear from Ian Dior or Kid Laroi. And when he was first pushing his music career, his initial interviews prove how much of the persona is a facade.
I mean, first off, I think just my age and just over a short period of time, the progress that me and my fan base have just kind of accomplished. I mean, I've only been in the game for like a year, give or take a couple months, so.
Award-wise, you're the winner of the 69th annual Jack Woodruff Memorial Public Speaking Competition. 2 years in a row, by the way. You also won the Jamie Porter Cup for Excellence in Writing all the way back in sixth grade. You've been noted for your writing for a while, not just in music. Can I read you what the definition of Lil Mabu is on Urban Dictionary? It is used in a sentence kind of like sliced bread. For example, damn, this new rapper Drake is the best thing since Lil Mabu, but not quite as good. What do you think about that?
I came after Drake, so I don't know.
Oh? Is there a beef?
No.
Does Lil Mabu have clout?
Depends how you define clout.
That's a good answer.
And looking back, the whole thing left a sour taste in people's mouths. Award for writing, but his lyrics are lame and not genuine. All this intelligence, but he chooses to rap about gang violence, spinning the block, and other harmful things. But even back then, he was already plotting his new persona.
I know on Instagram you've been teasing a new drill single. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so I have a drill release that's going to be dropping soon. But I've been working on it. I think I've had the song done for like 2 months, but definitely just different. I like to switch it up a lot, like from just different styles of music and rap and hip hop. Like I'm going to release drill project first, then I'll probably hit it with a music video, EP. I don't think an album yet, but definitely more singles and EPs and things of that sort. But I think that I evolved as an artist. I was kind of like just getting better pretty rapidly. So I would almost filter out my old unreleased songs. So I just have to be more consistent this year. Just keep being persistent and releasing music and building a core fan base and things of that nature.
Almost overnight, anyone who's been exposed to Lil Mabu beforehand were about to see a whole new side of him. And for a lot of hip-hop fans, he was about to appear on their radar for the first time. From the release of Demon Time onwards, Mabu began depicting himself as a thug in his music. But as if the shock factor of this clearly privileged white kid talking greasy wasn't enough, it was also supplemented by a whole host of clips online where he marketed his new image.
Why you lacking?
Lacking?
Like, oh, you know where you at right now? Like, but I need to take everything off you, bro. Like,
I'm outside Dolly. You know Mabu's body, bro.
Yo, Mabu, like, what you got on you? Like, oh, he got the now.
Don't mess with Mabu. He'll pull out the tennis racket or club on you. As tracks like No Snitching with Dusty Lil Kane began to go viral, Mabu took off. And while some people bought in, others refused to engage. Mabu, a marketing genius, bro finessed his fame. Bro did a whole press tour in this outfit.
Y'all should have just told me you were trolling. You should have just told me I already know what type of timing bro gonna be on. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. This nigga got light. This nigga like he cosplaying as a school shooter. It's like NF music with a troll to it. No.
Immediately, many critics saw Mabu as a plague in hip hop.
It's clear he doesn't take the music that he's standing on all that seriously in terms of the content it's delivering, and is mostly just using it as a platform to act like a clown and gain clout. Seeing Mabu build a name for himself doing all of this leaves me impressed in one breath, but also kind of grossed out in another, because unless he has a huge team of people behind him, he is single-handedly responsible for some of the smartest, but also some of the most cynical and opportunistic music marketing I've seen from an independent artist ever.
But he fully committed to the gimmick, even finding himself with the ops that he craved due to a feud with fellow drill rapper Use G's after accusing him of wearing fake clothing.
Why Lil Mabu, why does Lil Mabu dislike you?
I don't even know, man. I don't know why this white boy be trying. He just be running his mouth, bro. It was people like on me, Femi, talking about, oh, Use G's, fake drip this, fake drip that. He was on that bandwagon, you feel me? He was on that train, so he was being a fan, feel me? So I caught him on to saying what he was saying, feel me? Now I confronted him. I'm like, yo, bro, like, what's up? Like, yo, was like, what's up? You a whole artist. Like, you're not even supposed to be under these comments chatting. You get what I mean? Like, if you under here chatting, you got problems.
Do you ever feel like, yo, you know what? I'm not even about to entertain this because this is not a threat or whatever the case may be.
Nah, I ain't gonna lie, I think entertained it at first because he was fake talking hot. Talking about my shit come straight out of China, it's a flame. I'm like, you bugging.
Oh man.
Tom Brady in the face.
But for every enemy he made, Mabu seemed to have just as many allies. Whether it was someone like Didi Osama or even getting the unlikely cosign of the late PNB Rock. As his connections grew and mathematical disrespect landed him on the Billboard charts, the usual debate started. Was he really making it on his own, or was there something more behind his rise?
If I'm an industry plant, why am I not on Spotify editorial playlist? Why am I not on Rap Caviar? Everything that's label run, Mabu doesn't see the light of day. I'm more blackballed than I am planted. Listen, man, I'll take it as a compliment. I appreciate it.
But as Mabu's popularity grew, so did the unfavorable comparisons. One of the first being to a rapper notorious for paying gang members to surround him and boost his street credibility, a move that many suspected Mabu was mimicking as well.
This reminds me of when 6ix9ine was putting out his shit and people was hating on him because of his appearance, like how he had the rainbow shit, da da da. But there was a lot of people that were fucking with his shit and everybody was like, hey, how can you fuck with this? This shit's not even good, da da da. And then I feel like, I'm not saying that something's going to happen, but it's like, I feel like there's going to be like a situation where somebody checks him or something. And it's like, depending on what happens in that situation, that's when people are going to switch. That's when people are going to pick a definitive side. Because I feel like right now people are in public saying like, nah, this is ass, da da da. But low key fuck with it. I fucks with it. I do fuck with it. But I feel like something's going to happen where somebody's probably going to check his card. And that's when we're going to find out if all this shit is like, just for fun, just for show, or if he's like, this is like the real shit he on.
Rather than quitting while he was ahead, Mabu just kept intensifying the whole gangster shtick. And as is always the case with a gimmick, the effects would begin to wear off, leaving fans no longer interested and irritated instead. Seeking to replicate the chart success he had with Mathematical Disrespect, Mabu landed his next Billboard single by diving headfirst into controversy, clout chasing his way into the drama of one of hip-hop's most toxic couples. On the track, Mr. Take Ya Bitch, Mabu calls out Blueface by name, rapping, yes, I took his lady, I like blue faces, so I took his baby. Meanwhile, Krishan Rock's verse also calls out the father of her child, with Rock declaring that, only thing that's broke is my fucking water, gave birth to my kid, but I hate his father. To make things even more bizarre, Krishan marked the collab with what appears to be a new tattoo that reads, Mabu's pussy, just above her private area. And by the looks of it, Mabu was the one who penned her verse.
Hey, you gonna really let a white boy diss me? He ain't bout it. I said, bro, you really gonna let a bitch diss me? That's you wrote the diss. That's why I was like, Mabu, write my shit, yo.
During the rollout, they even went as far as to act like they were legitimately dating. But in the end, the returns probably weren't worth it. The track barely cracked the Hot 100, and the whole stunt collapsed when it became clear that Krishan was still in love with Blueface. And just like that, Mabu took an L. Make sure to add Lil Mabu's career to my resume. Why is your girl texting me every day, bro? What is she waiting on? Shambles. Despite the setback, Mabu kept finding allies who helped him push for legitimacy, all the while stirring up more controversy. And one of his biggest cosigns came when he linked up with Favio Foreign for Teach Me How to Drill. And as he closed in on his debut album, Mabu obtained features from Lil Baby and Enele Choppa. To him, the reason for achieving these successes were simple. In a world where there are thousands of rappers all vying for position, it's his marketing capabilities and the buzz he built around himself that made it possible.
I'm getting myself into the room with these people for reasons other than my music. I wouldn't have been able to be in those rooms if it was just based on the status I had as an artist at that time. But the services I'm offering these artists were in such need by their labels that the labels are hiring me. I figured, what the hell do I need a label for if they need me?
But it's fair to say that by then, this ability to snake everything he did to go viral was tapering off. And sadly for Mabu, the release of his debut album was about to confirm that the novelty of his initial run was something he couldn't recapture. And worse than that, the album, which didn't chart, was regarded as one of the worst of the entirety of 2025.
All the biting, all the cultural robbery, all that stuff that you can apply to Ian, it also applies even
even more to Lil Mabu. He seems blissfully unaware of just how gross his existence in the world of drill music is, and how far his white privilege, if you want to call it that, has taken him. He says, "I wasn't supposed to make it this far. I'm talking racially. You're a fucking young white boy who was not born into destitution. You literally were supposed to make it, and you are fucking making it."
The bit is old, bro. He has one joke in his music, and it's, "Look, I'm a rich white kid, but I'm making music like I'm from the hood, while having the worst bars, corniest lyrics, cringiest vocals, and just overall having the tackiest songs ever. I genuinely don't understand who's listening to this." Lil Mabu should make skits with the songs he makes instead of being an actual rapper. With the joke officially running thin, Mabu stepped away from the spotlight, revealing that it was a conscious decision on his part. And in the process, he let his true character spill out once more.
"Artists I look up to start becoming my friends, gaining notoriety. Cool, but at what cost? I wasn't spending time with my family. I neglected meaningful friendships. I lost valuable moments of my childhood that I can't get back. I decided at the beginning of the summer to find some balance. So I hung out with my friends before all my buddies go off in different directions, and I spent a lot of time with my pops, my mom, my sister, and I got some rest. But I'm back, Mabu's feeling great, but I've recognized that everything comes at a cost."
Seemingly admitting that he wasn't who he said he was, this earned comparisons to people like Slim Jesus, albeit a much richer version. Hailing from Frank Block in Hamilton, Ohio, Slim styled himself as a drill rapper, only for him to later reveal that his rhymes didn't mirror reality.
Like, how involved were you streetwise in terms of...
Streetwise, like, I mean, for the most part on the street shit, like, I got homies that are in that shit, and I know people who are, and people around me. I mean, I haven't, like, I'm not out here catching bodies and shit, obviously. Like, I'm fucking smart.
Once that seal was broken and the excitement wore off, it was impossible for him to recover. And now, it looks like there are some similarities. Just look at how King Yella discusses them.
"Are you familiar with Lil Mabu?
The little white kid from New York doing the drill shit.
Yeah, the only one.
He's hard.
Yeah, you f***ing with it?
He's hard.
Bro, he's staging pro... Because he went to, like, a really nice private school in New York City, and then he's staging protests. Like, he had people, like, holding signs, like, protesting him being in the school
he's
and stuff.
He's young and finessing the system. He know what he's doing.
Expert-level
troll. He capitalizing. He know already. He know. He set back. When you young and you see shit already, or he got somebody marketing behind him that know what to do already. But he really know how to fucking rap. That kid know how to fucking rap his ass off."
Yella had seen this story play out before with Slim Jesus. Just like Mabu, Slim initially figured out how to game the system, but in the end, it all fell apart. Yella recognized the parallels, acknowledging that while Mabu was making it work for now, the clock was ticking just like it did for Slim.
"It was not real at all. Everything, it was not real. So we had to figure out, we didn't want to shoot right here. It wasn't real. Like, how the fuck, I don't know how y'all finessed the camera to make it look like this was a real hood. It wasn't nothing going on."
In this regard, King Yella saw both similarities and differences, mainly that Mabu has way more room to fail than Slim ever did.
I think Slim Jesus was not in on the joke so much, whereas Lil Mabu seems like he totally gets it and he's playing the system, like, very expertly.
And he know how to move. He's a rich white kid. He's not
going
over there.
Slim Jesus is a broke ass white kid from...
I think Slim Jesus probably still got a little money.
Yeah?
Slim Jesus put up some numbers. He let them people get in his ear, man. And that's when he fucked his career up, man.
In this sense, Mabu's rise is probably more comparable to another artist, Ian. Like Mabu, he's a suburban white kid whose music is deeply connected to a culture far from his own experience. And just like Mabu, Ian's time in the spotlight seems to be fading fast.
He's a Dallas rapper who's kind of popping off right now. And I kind of feel like he and the music he's pushing is one of the biggest so what's I've heard come out of the music industry in a while. Here's the appeal of Ian in a nutshell. He essentially rips off Playboi Carti mercilessly, as well as Lil Baby, the auto-tune on their voice, his vocal inflections, and he does this while pretty much flexing the fact that he's just your average white bro. Like, oh man, he's doing the had to do it to a meme, oh man, oh my gosh. The real joke of Valedictorian is that Ian is trying to build a career off of just bluntly ripping off his contemporaries and just passing in a carbon copy of their work without putting his own personality or spin on it at all.
When he was at the top of his game, Mabu evaded contracts and insisted that he could maintain the success he'd achieved single-handedly.
You know, over the summer, I've gotten some crazy offers and deals I could have entered into, but I told them, guess what?
I'm going to college. And they looked at me like I was crazy. Mabu, do you understand? Like, you're not a regular kid. You need to devote all your time to your career. You need to take the music seriously. Fuck you. Watch this. I managed to do all of it while doing the music thing, so why would I pass this opportunity up now? For what? I can do both.
But now, he's probably wishing he'd cashed in when he could. As these days, while at college in Atlanta, Mabu already seems to know that rapping wasn't feasible in the long run.
Are you at Emory?
I'm at Emory.
Is that where you go to school?
Yeah, that's
where I go. Wow, okay, cool. I thought you were going to school in New York for some reason.
I did, yeah. I went to college in Atlanta.
Nice, man, that's super dope. I love that you're showing you could be in college and still have a full-on career. I'm sure that's very difficult.
Yeah.
But you make it look easy. So.
Got a minute.
Two lives. And you're fully independent, right?
Yeah, fully.
So you're an independent artist.
Yeah, that's the label.
It's that career day today.
Oh, yeah?
He's out looking for a job.
Okay, that's cool, man. Yeah.
But that hasn't stopped him from trying to recapture the old string of luck with viral moments. At one point, he even almost shot himself. But some people even thought that was a cynical stunt. Stop. Bro is not Cheddar Bob. All the while, his monthly listeners are in free fall, dropping from 8.1 to 2 million on Spotify. While on YouTube, tracks like Young Cracka and the widely clowned Oppie Day have the lowest views of any of his content since King of the World 3 years prior. Desperate for attention, he's not pretending to be gay purely for clout and asking his followers if they'd still support him if he was homosexual. But for Mabu, it's not the need for bigger viral moments that matters. The reason why he's failing is due to the lack of authenticity, as well as the overarching downfall of the subgenre. Bro came with a gimmick and a good sound, but drill is dying. You can play a character in rap. It was good shock value, but unless he pivots, he won't make it. Considering he's just 19 years of age, Mabu has every opportunity to regroup. But ultimately, a man of his memes not making it as a rapper isn't exactly a tragedy. While Lil Mabu's time is running out, for Matthew DeLuca, there is no shortage of opportunities. Now at college and with a rich family to fall back on, hip-hop was never the only route for him to succeed, in the way that it was for those drill rappers he emulated. While at the same time, he has been able to do and say things that would haunt a kid from a less privileged background. But for him, it'll be easy enough to be forgotten as he assimilates back into the upper class culture he spent his early life in. And unless he evolves musically back to something closer to this reality, then the days of Lil Mabu, the hip hop star who sat somewhere between tribute and parody, are likely a thing of the past. It's your boy Luesta, and if you guys liked this video, I'd appreciate it if you liked and subscribed. And as always, I'll catch you guys on the next one. Peace.